The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To the south of France, to paradise, Simon Constable reporting for The Wall Street Journal and Fox News and other distinguished publications. We begin immediately, of course, with springtime weather in the south of France, why people want to live there. Because, Simon, a very good day to you. I report southern New England on April the 9th, a momentous day for the trade wars around the world, but here, a recognizable New England springtime. It was 24 degrees overnight, that's about minus 3 or 4 centigrade, and it was 28 when I went out with the boys, that would be my Springer Spaniels, when it was still dark, about 28. It was 32 when the sun came up. The daffodil regiments arriving, and the hyacinths coming in platoon size, and the tulips all preparing for Easter, we're all in good shape after the freeze overnight. It is a bright day here in southern New England, and all is well. So now, tell me about paradise. Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. Today has been a day of no rain, no breeze, beautiful sun, and a high of 70 Fahrenheit. It's been absolutely lovely. The cows are out. The calves are out bouncing around in the fields. All the plants have decided to grow an extra foot overnight, or that's what it seems like. And I'm loving it.
Indeed you are. And good for you, Simon. I can hear the vines growing in the background. Okay, we turn to that all-against-all trade war that's ongoing. We're especially keen on commodities that we've been watching for weeks. I understand there's been a change in oil and natural gas, Simon. Tell me about it.
Wow, and a lot of other things too. And the change has largely been downward prices. So in some ways, that's great because you're going to pay less for these commodities or things that involve these commodities. But it also is an indication that people are very worried about the economy with this trade war. So Brent crude is now $57 to $59 per barrel. And that's down from where it was last week, which was $74, $75 a barrel. TTF, which is the natural gas price, which is also how electricity is priced here, is euros a megawatt hour. That's down 18% on the week. Copper's down 16% on the week. Lithium is down 3.6% on the week. Iron ore down 3%. Wheat is up a tiny bit, which is good for the farmers. Orange juice down. Coffee down, cocoa down. And we haven't seen those three all being down in one go. It really is quite extraordinary. And of course, then there is another standout. Rice is going up a bit, 2.2%, but nothing to really change the rest of the complex, which is down, down, down.
I want to speak of rice in a moment, but this is a momentous week over week switch, momentous. And you and I lived through the last time anything collapsed this suddenly. Commodity prices are an indicator of confidence of the 6 to 9 months out for the world economy. And for them to drop, it's not a bargain. It means that they're expecting recessions, worldwide recession probably, certainly here in the U.S. and certainly in the EU. And the central banks will do what they can. But let us remember, Simon, that you and I met and first launched our career of talking about the world ending in 08, 09, the Great Recession. And week to week, we would watch the commodity prices plunge. And those were early days. Simon and I were wandering around Times Square with our producer, Lee Mason. And there was a NASDAQ outpost right down on Broadway, as I recall, off of Times Square, where we were able to make videos about the collapse. Simon, what were the pigs? What was that controversy? P-I-I-G-S.
Yes, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece. So that was the pigs.
And Spain, too.
And or you could also call it Club Med, with the exception of Club Mediterranean, with the exception of Ireland. And they were basically the countries that had overspent and were deeply in debt and having a very bad time. They hadn't been careful with their government money, and people were having a great time making fun of them. Now, I think that is well in the past now, but it was very interesting at the time and actually rather scary. And there were lots of worries around that time about whether Greece would leave the Eurozone, which is the single currency area of the whole of the European Union. It was really quite shocking, and something was happening every day, and it just seemed to be getting worse and worse and worse. So we were there week after week doing that, and it was really, really, really interesting.
I recall the Germans were very angry with the Greeks because they'd lent them so much money. I also recall that there was street violence in Greece. Burnings, fire, charges on police. And the pigs were said to be eligible to not leave the Eurozone, merely have a new understanding that they were half the worth of the northern tier. It was a day, and this is when Britain was still part of the EU, and the U.S. was trading with the EU successfully, but the collapse was broad-based. Barack Obama was elected in the fall of 08, and by the March of 09, the bottom had fallen out of the markets. I remember specifically we were there that winter and into spring, and there was no good news. Do you remember any good news at all, Simon?
No, it was certainly there was no good news for anyone in Greece. I do remember that there were some issues about getting electricity. So people in Greece and in Athens were getting domestic wood burners and sticking a pipe out of their window so they could keep warm. It was a really bad situation. It seemed like a post-war situation in some ways. I also remember thinking, who would want to be president of the U.S. at a time like this, when Obama was campaigning, which was in 2008, he was doing that very heavily. I remember going on Fox Business News when it was a new TV show, a new TV channel, and saying if I was in President Obama's shoes, I would do everything I could to throw the election so that I wouldn't have to do that job. It looked like a nightmare.
I've had
bad jobs.
You were at the Wall Street Journal at the time, and you were experimenting with video, as
yes.
I recall. Weren't you in the building that you'd moved in for temporary headquarters after the World Trade Center had fallen and your downtown headquarters had been so badly damaged you'd had to move? This is before you moved into the new building with Fox. Is it before Murdoch bought the Wall Street Journal? I don't recall. Probably not.
I think it was in line with it pretty much. But we did move up to being in the same building as Fox News and Fox Business News and the New York Post, all of which are part of the Murdoch empire. It was very, very handy to be able to walk down the stairs or take the elevator down or up to go and to see one of your vicarious colleagues in another publication, maybe be on their TV show or not, as it happened. And there was a lot going on and very different angles that each publication had.
To remember how far we've come, there was 2G being bragged about. You could now go 3G on Verizon. So when you made your videos, people had challenges each day downloading them or watching them because of the lag speed. Nothing like today. There was no Starlink, which is how I'm talking to Simon right now. There was SpaceX, but it had this novel idea that it was going to steal market from the big guys. That would be the U.S. government and its contractors. And a guy named Elon Musk was moving into something called Tesla. Those were the days, Simon. And the commodities collapsed, which is what reminds me of why I'm connecting now to then. There was a worldwide recession, and we didn't recover for many years. There was a stability during the Obama years, but no growth. And maybe that's what we're facing now. One more detail. I said we'd touch upon the rice again. There's an article in the FT today saying the rice crop is inadequate and you have a contribution of a volcano. Explain that, Simon.
Yes, this is quite interesting. So when you have an undersea volcano explosion, it can really change the weather for a long period. It can be global, or it can be regional, or it can be no impact at all. But this one that went off in late last month was the Mount Luotobi Laki eruption was believed to have had a sustained column height of about 8 kilometers high.
Where is it? Where is it located?
This is in Asia, near the Philippines, and near Malaysia. So that went off, popping all this water into the atmosphere and doing all of the rest of it in the ash and all those things. And that is expected to have a regional impact in Asia for the next 6 months. And that will be drier and somewhat cooler than the normal pattern in the Asian region. Now, that's going to be terrible for rice growing because it needs to be hotter and wetter. And to do the opposite is going to be very bad. And you've already got people stockpiling extra bits of rice for their country so that people don't have a hard time with it. And basically, you know, have enough there just to feed everybody. And the price has gone up. That was why I mentioned one of them going up. Didn't go up much over the last week, but it has been steadily rising over the last few months.
Yeah, given how much of the world depends upon rice as a stable commodity each day to eat, we're watching that story. And last week we spoke of not rare earths, but materials, metals that they need that have strange names for the EV and robotic and AI future. There was one in particular, rhenium. What has that done these last days?
It's gone up over the last three and a tiny bit months by 3%, which is quite a move when it was already quite pricey. It's priced in the thousands of kilograms or thousands of dollars per kilogram. Sorry, I got that wrong there. It's thousands of dollars per kilogram, which is about 2 pounds. And that's a big move for something that is needed in relatively small quantities, but it's still needed. And it going up isn't going to make anyone who needs it very happy right now.
We're mentioning that because we're about to move into a story that requires a great deal of geopolitics. That is the minerals and rare earths of Russia in conversation with the investor class, including the United States of America. Simon Constable in the south of France, where there's paradise, 70 degrees. He's bragging about it. The birds are singing and the vines are growing. And when we come back, what about Russia? What about investment in their minerals and rare earths? And whose idea is it? This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.